one of our new clients said something to us. What did he say? He said, I was looking at a couple different digital marketing agencies and I actually asked
ChatGPT.
Was it ChatGPT?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, yeah. And I asked ChatGPT and they recommended you. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Run Lead Gen Radio, your go-to podcast for all things digital marketing, growing your business, SEO, with your hosts, Quinn
and Brian.
And today, you guys, we're actually super excited. This is kind of fun. We are doing the podcast, just the two of us today. We do love to have people on the podcast, you know, as guests, and just a quick shout out if that's something you'd be interested in being featured on the podcast. Maybe you're a digital marketer, maybe you're a digital marketing agency, maybe you're a business owner, or you're a marketer for another business. Those are all types of people we would love to have on this podcast. And we love to have them on here because we get to talk about what's working for their business, what's not working. We build relationships. We kind of have this little network of people that are seeing these videos. So if that's something that you're interested in, hit us up at info@runleadgen.com or comment on one of our videos and we'll catch you that way. But today is a special day because it's just Brian and me.
Yeah, that it is. We had somebody lined up and that all fell apart and they couldn't make it. And so we said, well, let's still record because it's fun and why not?
And we don't often get the opportunity to talk about exactly what we want to talk about, right? Updates to our industry, to marketing in general, wins that we're seeing with our clients. So today is that. So if you haven't seen one of our podcasts before, this is going to be a fun one because we're talking about just all this miscellaneous good stuff, some of the meat to our business and the successes that we're seeing and the headwinds that we're seeing. So with that, I just want to just give you guys a little rundown of what we've got going here. So you can see we've got a camera here on Brian. And I'll give you guys some details because I always love this. I've reached out to several podcasters to help us build what we have. So if you're interested on recording videos at all, right now we are running two Canon cameras. So we've got a Rebel T6 here on me.
This is an EOS R50. It's kind of like a content creator camera is how they market it, specifically for people that are trying to get online. It's kind of the more of a mid-tier or lower tier camera, but it's served its purpose really well for the price and I've really enjoyed it.
And you can tell they're both DSLRs. Well, this one might just be DSLR as well. So they've got great quality, but they both utilize something called EOS Utility, so that we can use them for webcams. And then we're running here in the middle, the Sony A7S III. And this is like the bee's knees when it comes to video for, especially for like YouTube content. It's really the best of the best. We've got a Tamron lens on it, like a walking lens. And that was because we saved a couple hundred bucks then going with the Sony lens, which we'll eventually upgrade to. And they're all running on OBS. And OBS is just a recording software. And then we've got audio piping through the Rodecaster here, which I wanted you to be able to see in one of the shots, but it's down here.
Yeah,
it's hard to show you, but Rodecaster is awesome because it will actually mix as we record. So if you got background noise or sometimes when you get like audio interfaces and you've got two things coming in on them, audio will get caught by both of them. But the Rodecaster filters for that. So it's only capturing one audio from one audio source. So we don't get this kind of like echo effect.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a big difference. And sometimes Quinn will actually be plugged into that when we're on a call. And he'll be like, oh, sorry, did you hear my kids screaming? And no, actually, yeah. Nobody heard it because it's taking care of a lot of some of that background noise on the fly, which is pretty incredible.
That's right. So pretty cool. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the setup. We've got a ring light. We've got one of those Neewers. It's like a desk mountable. It's a soft light. And then we've got some dynamic lights in the background to kind of create the atmosphere. So that's us, you guys, on the podcast. As you can see, we have the whole room covered in sound tiles, which I've become used to, but if you've never, we've walked into a room and it really is, it's different to talk in here than it is elsewhere. It's it sounds like a studio. So this is our recording studio. So, okay, let's dive in, Brian. So today I want to talk a little bit and kind of help everybody get some transparency on our business and what's working. And let's talk through some wins and just like where we're at. It's the end of 2024. We're at the precipice of 2025. What is some of the stuff on your thoughts?
Well, so one of the things that has been really cool, and if you follow us on social, you might have seen a video come out on our stories, or maybe it was Quinn's story earlier in the week. And we were looking at two of our clients, in particular, the performance that we've seen for their lead acquisition. And so we go into their SEMrush and we start drooling. We go into our CRM and the leads are just piping hot. And one of the things that's happened is we started and ran on an average of about $30 to $25 cost per lead. And now down towards the end of the year, we've seen that get down to like $11 per lead.
That's awesome.
And so that has been top of mind for me because it's just super exciting. And I really like seeing that if the outline we put together and the plan that we put in place with the client, if they take the steps to actually follow it from start and get everything in place, that it works really well.
Yeah.
And so many times when there's challenges, it's when things come up against, well, we can't do that. We don't want to adapt and switch to that. Or, oh, that's going to be a big change for us to track that way. Or it's hard to have a plan and attribution model and forecasting and everything apply to all business use cases. I think ours fits really well, basically across the board, but sometimes there's those little differences. But it's really cool to see it all come together.
Yeah, I think that's really, so at the beginning of the year, we were often saying things like, we've never lost a client. And under the Run Lead Gen, business, we've never lost a client. And that's no longer true, right? We have since lost a couple clients and we've looked back and said, what's happened, right? What headwinds are we seeing? Is it a product issue? Is it a communication issue? Is it a people or a process issue? And while we have iterated on all of those, I would say that the theme for any of our lost clients, and there's only been a couple, right?
Yeah, just a few.
Is
we're lucky that way.
They just didn't see the growth that they were hoping for as quick as they were hoping for it, right?
Yeah, there's that. And then because there's a very clear pattern as well. And we've talked about this on other podcasts and some of our earlier episodes. But so in the last, I don't know, like 6 or so months, I'll just go ahead and say we have lost 3 clients.
Yeah.
And 2 of the 3 are franchises. And
that's right.
One of the things that keeps coming up is, well, it's not that I don't want to keep going, but the franchise fees are making this really, really difficult. And so I know that's a very small sample of data for 2 out of 3, but even that I see it as a pattern. I'm like 2 out of the 3 and 2 of them, the challenges and headwinds they came up against were in particular with their franchise.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because of those two, we preferred working with one of those franchises. Clearly, that's because number one, they had a lot more freedom and reign on their website. And so we were able to get some of these pieces in place.
That's right.
But yeah, it sounds like some of those franchises, I don't know, maybe we should start an SEO franchise. It sounds like they're getting some money for not sure what, but seems lucrative.
And I will say, we've said this before as well. If you are looking at a franchise or you have contemplated franchise in the past, certainly not every franchise is bad, but you should do your due diligence before you jump in with a franchise and understand what they're providing you, right? Because if they're telling you they're going to provide you with assets that aren't ultimately yours, you could get yourself in a bind like the two that we've had where now they're saying they're growing a business the franchise has not given them anything other than a name. There are no leads coming from the digital assets that they created. They're working with another digital marketing agency anyway, in this case, us or others in the past, right? And now they've got a business where this franchise is taking big money from their business. For what, right? Did they give them process? Did they give them assets? Was there anything other than just their name, right? You think about McDonald's. McDonald's is going to help you find, they find the location. They've already built the infrastructure of the store and the processes for cooking the food, and they give you everything. And so really they can plug and play. But you get these newer franchises that are trying to hack the system, and what are they really giving you? So consider that, right? And so, I would say if I take a step back and say, yeah, we lost the two franchises, we lost somebody else, all three of them were because they had maybe a limited mindset of what they could do.
I think that plays into
the franchise or from themselves, right?
Yeah, that absolutely plays into it. Because it is hard, like I said earlier, to always be able to apply, hey, here's the dream strategy. If we can do everything that we wanted and try and lay that on top of a business, when you come up against a franchise, they've got so much more, and not just from like brand guidelines or things like that. I think a lot of that stuff is easy to work with, but just on rules of how you can have business actually come into, whether it's your phone or CRM. I mean, there's a lot of
red tape, a lot of just arbitrary minutia that you have to navigate.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing I think is, well, to be more specific, one of the things that I thought was absolutely crushing for one of these businesses was the fact that he was tied down to their website. And the site had issues. And so he has hired us. So we send them, hey, here's all the things that we want fixed. Here's all the content we want added. And they come back to him. Not only is he paying franchise fees, but also here is like an additional fee to implement that stuff into your site.
It's awful.
Just a lot of headwind.
And now, unfortunately, I mean, we see lawsuits. We see broken businesses. We see lives affected by that. So be careful, you guys. So certainly that's been headwinds for us as franchises, and just generally clients not being willing to try to think outside the box, to allow us to do our job and to get them out across all of the marketing channels, right? To increase their diversity in their strategy. And so that's tricky, right? Because they come in and they feel like they have a very specific idea. And those that thrive, like the, you know, like the chiropractor or the plumber or the container guy, you know, some of these clients that have just blown up, they have allowed us to do what we do and iterate and optimize and stick it out. Right. And they've stayed long, and now they're getting 200, 300 leads, you know, growing their business in the case of, you know, some of them from a $5 million to a $15 million business, large, large wins. And the overall takeaway is that they stuck it out. They kept it going. They pushed through the hard, right?
Yeah. You know, one of the things, and this is to changes the,
yeah,
what we're talking about sure. a little bit, but something else that's been on my mind, and I know we've talked about it, I've stressed that this has been a struggle for me as far as letting go, is obviously when you have people and processes in place, that doesn't mean that everything's always going to come out perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's something that is still really a challenge for me, and something I'm trying to really improve upon is letting go and letting people go and do their job and not have to be a hovering parent, if
sure,
you will.
Sure.
And so, yeah, but I just continue to come back to that. That's so challenging. And I think about other business owners that we know and other agency owners that we know. And I think back to some of the mistakes that I've seen their teams make and how they handled it. And there's another skill there as well, is, you know, being able to take ownership of a mistake, but being able to fix it and continue moving forward without letting it stop things up. But yeah, that's another thing that's been on my mind is what more can I do to help our team to feel confident in passing off more and more and try and shift from, you know, a product owner or management type role to actually being more of just a business owner. Yeah. So
let's talk a little bit about some specifics and we'll continue with the transparency. So year 2022, we start in, you know, June as like a side business. We're taking it on literally after hours, into the night, any chance we
can. With pregnant wives.
With pregnant wives. Ambitious and maybe crazy, right? And that year we were just seeing, can we make an extra buck and can we do this, right? Because we were doing it in our corporate careers. It wasn't like we were going out into something we weren't used to doing. But could we also run a business? It's more than just being marketers. And we made a couple bucks, right? Yeah. For the 6 months, I think we ended up grossing something like 20K, right? Yeah. Really minimum, but we helped businesses grow and we were just getting a taste for what we could do. And 2023, we grew by about almost 700%, about 650%, obviously from virtually zero. It's easy to get big numbers like that. So we're like, gosh, yeah, this is more than a side business. We can really make a business out of this. We not only have we been able to do a thing well for clients, but we're keeping them and they're staying and we're not signing any type of termed contracts. They're staying because we're doing the job well. And we knew we could, right? But we're also maintaining, we've got good relationships and we've got good communication and we've got the right organization. And then 2024, so this year, you know, another almost 200% increase, we hit headwinds. And we were planning on growing more than that, maybe double that.
Yeah, I can imagine that the headwinds, had we grown as fast as we did the previous year, that the headwinds would have been that much more challenging. Sure. And we would have been working that many more nights than we already were anyways. But
So like, what were those headwinds, right? I have told people this when we were first starting a business, everybody's telling me, and my, you know, my parents being very conservative and just very worried parents, you know, they're trying to make sure that I don't fail and we're going to thrive. You know, I heard over and over again, insurance, and insurance was like one call. That's all. Right? It was so easy. We've kind of chuckled, I wish somebody would have been telling me like sales, that's going to be hard. Yeah. Right. Cause like, it doesn't matter. We can be great marketers and we can show that we've done it well for people, but like, yeah. And these are the conversations we're having with our clients as well. Is like, how many leads do you need to hit the goal for revenue that you want? And can you fulfill on that once you get that? And if it requires now, you know, 100 leads a month, are you ready to call 100 leads a month and manage those relationships? And so we found that like we could generate the leads for our own business, like we're doing for everybody else, but everybody else has had sales already either planned for or solved for their business. And we hadn't, right?
Yeah, not at all.
So it's coming. We've got all these leads coming in while we're running a business and doing fulfillment and client, success and just making sure that everybody's growing and seeing the campaign growth that they need for their business goals. And now we've also got to talk to X amount of leads and then call them back. And so I've heard myself say and heard us say on sales calls, as much as we'd love to reach back out to you, it's unlikely that we will because we just have so many leads coming in. So don't take that as we don't want to work with you, but, we're going to just keep going. And eventually, you know, the people that want this bad enough are the ones that we want to have anyway. And so we hope to see you again, you know, and tongue in cheek, we did reach out to many of them again, but that's the idea is like, that's one of the headwinds.
Sales. Yes. And even, you know, coming up with a model where a lot of the clients that we'd had for the first few years has been through referral and word of mouth and, oh, I worked with this company. I worked with Run Lead Gen at this job and they did a good job. Now I'm at my new marketing job somewhere else. I'm going to bring them over here too. And things like that, that are kind of easier to have almost not, I don't want to say fall on your lap,
sure.
But it's much different than having a lead funnel and people trying to dial on them. And
yeah,
it's a big difference.
And I will say in those scenarios, those people are trying to now convince their marketing team or their stakeholders. When they go look at Run Lead Gen, they find our site, they find our content. It ends up being a valuable contributor. They're seeing what we're talking about, our transparency, our wins and losses. And so those have been really valuable. So, creating that content, even if it's not driving new, leads for you, it's worth it because it is showing your expertise and it's showing behind the curtain and it's showing who you are and people get to know you. And so it's a long play, but you certainly should be doing it.
And it's kind of fun too.
It is fun. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about, so we talked a little bit about headwinds, right? Sales has been a headwind. Had we been able to hit our sales goals, our retention goals are fantastic, right? And so our business would have grown more. So if we just grow even just 150% again in 2025, basically in 2.5, almost 3 years, we will have broken the $1 million threshold, which I think is a big thing for a lot of people. It's saying that you've got something and you're making progress. We're getting out of the try space and we're becoming a real thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's completely reasonable. It's not outside of the realm of our possibilities. And now we've got a sales team in place. So again, this is a testament to what we're talking about. Solving one problem at a time, sticking it out and pushing through it. Those are the goals. And
yeah. I was going to say, sometimes we're solving maybe a little more than one problem at a time, yeah. But that's the concept.
Which is also both good and bad, right?
Yeah.
The idea is to solve one at a time so you can focus on it and solve it well. But yes, we are sometimes a little
juggling,
and I'm a little scatterbrained myself, but yeah.
Yeah. Juggling a few things sometimes.
Okay. So let's also talk about, the goals then are to hit that. And if we do, we're on the Inc. 5,000, which we're watching very closely. And in that there are a series of, kind of small rocks. How do we get to those big rocks? And, part of that has been, business hierarchy. And, like we've said before, process, people, product, but also it has everything to do with the fact that our business model is set up on what we call a partnership. There is no termed contract. So this means that our business only hits that goal if our clients are hitting their goals, which means that we are heavily invested in their growth as well. And if you are a marketer and you want to get on this podcast, we'll play nice, but that's something that's not common for marketers and for marketing agencies. We've talked about this before. If we wanted to, many, if not most agencies are banking on the fact that if they can sign somebody up for a 6-month or even a year contract, their attrition or loss of a client is sufficiently low enough that they can get 3, 4, 5, however many more clients in that same time period, that they are actually building a model based on attrition. And it's a numbers game rather than a service. And that's why so many people have a bad experience with marketing. Lots. And our biggest headwind in the sales space is that we're talking to people who are like, I already tried it. It didn't work. Ooh, and that makes us so sad, because if you tell us, or if you come and be a client with us either way, and you say, it's not working for me, I'm done, or it's not working for me, I can't start. What that says to us is that you don't, and this is going to sound, this is a little bit of a hard truth. You don't understand, your position as a business. If you can't do digital marketing, you will never grow more than what you personally are capable of. You're not a business. You are an individual with a service, with a specialty, with a hobby. You're a contractor, you're a consultant. If you want to become a business and grow and scale beyond what you personally are capable of, you absolutely have to consider, we'll say marketing in general, but digital marketing especially, right? You just cannot create the volume necessary to be able to hire more people, to be able to create the infrastructure to build a business without marketing.
The one caveat I want to add to that is, so there's definitely companies that have tried digital marketing and it didn't work. And it's not because digital marketing doesn't work, but there's also so many of these, you know, attrition number game agencies out there that weren't invested in their success.
That's right.
And I think had they stumbled across the right partner, because we're not the only ones out there that do a great job. There's a lot of marketers that do a fantastic job for businesses and help them grow and reach their goals. And if something's not working, have the skill set to go in and break it down of what's not working and to be able to correct it. But you're right. There is elements to the individual business that maybe something just doesn't fit with their model, or it doesn't need to line up 100%, but that would be a hard truth to face. But I also worry about companies thinking that's the hard truth they're facing, when in actuality, they're going through churn and burn shops.
It's a great clarification. What I should have said is, if you're saying to yourself, it doesn't work, what you should be saying to yourself is, it hasn't worked, right? And why hasn't it worked? Because if you succumb to the idea that marketing doesn't work, that's where I'm saying that's a hard, scary truth for you. Because like, if that's the reality you live in, where do you have to go, right? So better to say, it hasn't worked. And why hasn't it? Because it could have been bad marketing. It could have been bad people, bad agency, bad individual, bad process. It can also be bad product, bad sales, bad offer, right? Bad fulfillment. I mean,
there's a million things for sure.
How many times have I bought, several at least, like a pest control, for example?
Through so many pest control companies. It's awful. That's one where that's probably one company type of service that we've gone through a lot.
It's unfortunate because they have capitalized on a need. We need, you know, you don't want bugs in your house or voles in your yard or wasp's nests or ants. Nobody wants that. They are just a nuisance. And so these pest control. Yeah.
I was going to say, and where we live out here, at least over at my house, there's a lot of spiders. We're close to the lake and the spiders are a little bit crazy. And so that's why we, having never had it until we moved into our current house, the spiders were so prolific over there that we're like, okay, we have to have this.
So here's another business who has capitalized on the numbers game, and they're trying to get you in contracts and play the attrition game. But at the end of the day, gosh dang it, if we could find a pest control company that actually came out often and was spraying, and I could see measurable or at least anecdotal observational change. The voles are going less, right? There's less nests, or the spiders are fewer, that, or even that they came. I swear the last two were like, it's been 4 months. Aren't they supposed to come every month? And so fulfillment can also be a huge reason why.
Yeah. And the logistics, we've struggled with dealing with a lot of their companies' logistics. Like, say we're going to be here at this time and actually we're not, and we derailed our day to be able to let you into a house and you didn't come, didn't reach out.
But they're banking on them. It's not, in my opinion, several of them, I should be careful with generalizations, but several of these companies are like, even if they didn't show up, that's what they're using. It's like, oh, we showed up, but you weren't there.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so I guess the point of all of that is, you have got to reframe marketing doesn't work to marketing hasn't worked. And that may be a variety of things that are happening to you, but please, for the sake of your business, I don't know who I want to look at, for the sake of your business, don't say that marketing doesn't work, because all that says to anybody who owns a business or who has done marketing well and right is it breaks our heart for you, because what can your business do? What is its potential without marketing? And certainly if you're a one man show and you know, you're just trying to make a living just to get by and pay your bills, certainly you can do that. But if you're trying to grow a business, you want to be more than just a one man show. You want to grow something that's sustainable, scalable, that's going to grow past you. That's what we're talking about. Obviously, you can find success as an entrepreneur, as a single person shop without digital marketing. I think that's definitely reasonable.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, you guys. So we want to wrap up the rest of this conversation, because we could just jabber all day long. But let's talk a little bit about 2025. So 2025 is coming up. What are some of the key components that we have been aware of by way of SEO, CRM, Facebook, like marketing 2025 tips that everybody should be aware of? And maybe just tips in general for business owners that they can be thinking about for the new year.
That is a really good question. So what I have been thinking about today is generative engine optimization, or making sure your brand has coverage inside of Google AI overviews and ChatGPT search and Perplexity and some of these things. And it might not be for smaller businesses at the tippy top of the list, especially for like service businesses this year. But I think for a lot of big brands, they want to ensure their coverage there and get the right processes in place to establish that.
One of our new clients said something to us. What did he say? He said, I was looking at a couple different digital marketing agencies and I actually asked
ChatGPT.
Was it ChatGPT?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, yeah. And I asked ChatGPT and they recommended you. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah. I was like, did you copy the list of attributes and then let it pick? Or did it actually know who we were? It makes me want to go test around and see what's coming back. That's kind of funny.
Generative. So I think it's a little bit confusing. We've heard it said GEO or GO, not to be confused with like geolocation or SEO, right? But in this case, generative engine optimization.
Yeah. I think that is up towards the top. Something else that I think is going to be real hot in 2025 is going to be migrating your tag manager to first party mode. So this is, you know, we always in setting up campaigns know that we have to get the right data back for campaigns to be able to optimize properly, especially in paid search, paid social. And we've seen so many browsers and so many platforms getting rid of cookies or at least third party cookies for now, and really putting privacy at the forefront of the end user's experience. And so switching a lot of that over to first party by going to the first party mode, I think they call it inside of Tag Manager. That's somewhat new. And I think that's going to get a lot more prolific in 2025.
I also want to talk about, we did a video on this, you can find it, but Meta is updating their platform to enhance the ability for content creators and then marketers to be more cohesive in their collaboration. Meaning, if you're a business owner and you are trying, you know, you are the authority, you're the expert, right? Or you're a marketer for a business owner and you're representing that authority. Now, if you're partnered with an agency, we can actually work better together, right? Because I think historically, you have one of two options, right? You really have like the business representative, whether it's an owner or an expert or otherwise, has to kind of do their own video or their own content. And then it goes to an agency and they're optimizing the campaign and building the campaign. Or you've got the agency or the marketer building all of it and it's less representative. And so there's this new opportunity along with a handful of AI incorporated tools as well, that is now going to allow users, I'm sorry, I should be specific, the authoritative person, the business, the content representative, and the marketer, whether it's an agency or otherwise, to be more collaborative inside the platform.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited
That's very cool. I mean, their platform, the Meta platform in general, has been a bit clunky over the last few years. So to see them making some developments there is
refreshing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then I would also say 2025 is all about, and we've been headed this direction, but you've got to have hubs of content. And so, you know, videos, infographics, quizzes, things for people to interact with. You can't just have put out five pages on five keywords.
500 words.
Yeah, you can't.
That's what it used to be back in the day. I remember we'd always say, let's do 500 words.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to have deep authority, right? If somebody gets to you and they start clicking through, they can find your socials and they're seeing that you have input there, and they can find resources that have extensive or comprehensive insight there. And then they can come back and look at your service. You have to be everywhere. You do. And so this is why, I mean, this is job security for us as marketers, but it's also security for users to stop getting scammed, to get the right people to help them with the problem that they have. Right. So it's a win-win, but it is not easy. It's going to take effort and time and
this is kind of, I don't even know if I should even talk about this. It's just kind of silly, but, so we're always looking at what are PR campaigns that companies can do to get press coverage, that they can get brand mentions and citations are everywhere. And I've just been really, I think 2025 might be the year of the drone or the UFO. Yes. That's all my feed is covered with all these drones floating everywhere. And so I'm like, maybe we need to do something drone or UFO PR related.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Well, there you guys have it. That's a little bit on us. That's our business. So stick around with us, because we are going to grow and our clients, our partners are growing. And so 2025, we're excited to tell you more about what's working, what's not working. You know, where did we land? Did we hit those goals? So it's an exciting journey. Stick around with us, like, and subscribe so that these videos are popping up on your feed so that you can keep up with us. If video isn't your jam, hopefully you're also finding these on your podcast, wherever you're finding podcasts, cause you can listen to this in the car. Hopefully we're working on becoming more entertaining as well. I think we both have hard. A lot of things that we can do there, but, because we want it to be entertaining for you to listen to, but certainly we are talking about the real deal stuff that's working.
Yeah, and
we
informative. Hope
that's creating value for you. If you feel like you're interested, but you would like to see us push a little bit harder on some places and you want to hear more about particular topics, interact with us, leave us a comment. And we're not just asking you to do that, just for the sake of growing.
Yeah.
We genuinely want to know what our listeners are interested in and how we can help you more, because we have a wealth of knowledge between the two of us. And now with a team, we've got a robust team with knowledge that we have stuff to share. It's just sometimes difficult to know exactly what you want. And the keyword researchers and things like that can only take us so far. So help us out. Tell us what you want to hear. Let us know that you drop us a, what are they saying? Drop us a,
I don't know.
Drop us
a line.
Drop us a line. That's right. That's what it is. And so we know that you're listening, so that we're not just talking out to the ether, you know, that there's nobody out there. We want to know that you're listening and what you're like and what you want to see more of. So, Run Lead Gen Radio, runleadgen.com. With your hosts, Quinn
and Brian,
when we will help you scale to success.